due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
You don't get it yet, do you, man? Things have changed. Over the past 6 years, the Shield did more harm than good, sure. They love the Shield all over the world. But nobody knows how we were when the cameras stopped rolling. Nobody knows what kind of people we were behind the scenes, the things we did. We were rotten to the core from the very beginning. And now time has caught up to us. And we're all going to pay for it in different ways. The old saying goes, what goes around comes back around on you.
This is Harper from the Bludgeon Brothers. And you are listening to The Pain Clinic.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for November 24th. We are 20 years and 1 week in. Holidays today. It's All Our Uncles Are Monkeys Day.
I can see that.
I think this might have something to do with this next holiday, too. It's, of course, a favorite of Triple H, Batista, Randy Orton, and Ric Flair. It's Evolutions Day. Welcome to the Pain Clinic. It's
Evolution,
and All Our Uncles Are Monkeys Day. So, welcome to the show. I'm the Cash Man, and I am joined by the boy who grew up in the show, Danger Boy.
I technically haven't grown but like 2 inches since the show started.
But, you know, you were around, you were still in high school, right, when
yes.
we started, so you've grown somewhat. We have DC Dan Cole back from vacation.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here. We missed you the last 3 weeks.
I mean, I'll lie and say it's good to be back. You know, I'll give you that courtesy, I guess.
I know, yeah. You know, where you were was much nicer, yes, I understand.
Yeah, yeah, slightly nicer than it's been this week here.
You know what's weird is we usually don't get this much snow before Thanksgiving, and so I think it's kind of a fluke.
It's because of people listening to Christmas music before Thanksgiving.
That and people who set up their trees before Thanksgiving, too. You know, it's all their faults. The ones who put the lights on the house. Even though there's really no options when it's freezing out to do it. You'd much rather do it. It's nice. But, hey, welcome to the show. The Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, Empire Culver. I want to thank everybody who came out to Salvatore's at the garage door last Sunday for our 20th anniversary party. I hope you got some cake or some donut cake or some cookie cake or some donuts. I can't think of what else we brought.
T-shirts.
T-shirts, too. We handed out T-shirts. And I still got a ton left. So it's just showing you that there's more T-shirts to be handed out. I want you to join us December 8th for UFC 231 at Salvatore's at the Garage Door and Salvatore's Saloon. 10 p.m. start time. Get there early. It'll be hosted by us. Prizes and drink specials all night long. That's December 8th. That's 2 weeks from today. Salvatore's Saloon, Salvatore's Garage Door, UFC 231. Hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater? Officiate. Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby if you're interested in playing for the men's team or working with them. It's the Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R. You can find that on Facebook as well. Thank you so much for joining us. We're here to talk wrestling. I know we did a lot of reminiscing last week. You know, in fact, we spent a major portion of the show doing reminiscing, very little time talking about actually what was going on, except for some of the it's hard to avoid the Becky Lynch, getting hit so hard in the face that she broke a bone a week before a Survivor Series pay-per-view that they've been building up for about 3 weeks since Crown Jewel. We were in here talking pro wrestling today, and I am the Cashman. Like I said before, I'm joined by DC Dan Cole, Danger Boy, and you. 222-1280 is the phone number. You can text us if you're shy. You can call us if you're not shy. You want to talk on the air, maybe, you know, give us a congratulations. You know, if you didn't get a chance last week, you know, we had busy phones the whole. I mean, Dr. Love made an appearance on the show, for Christ's sakes. Oops. But, you know, think about it. You know, when last time that guy on the show?
It's been years.
It has been years.
You know, I'm upset I've never met the guy.
Yeah, he's an interesting fella. He's got so many girls that he has as many girls as the beach has sand. And apparently his lips are in constant demand.
I was going to be that jerk while I was on vacation because I know in the quarterfinals, I was up against Dr. Love.
Yes.
And I was tempted to just take a picture of the beach and just send it and start taunting him.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what happened in the finals there yet. So, you know, we kind of like lost tracks. Some people took it way too seriously, DC.
You didn't hear what happened?
No, what happened?
How do you not know what happened?
I don't know. I didn't. What happened?
Danger, you want to fill him in?
So the finals was myself versus Ucash, and I had a vocal strain and had to have a substitute come in. So your son Change stepped in.
Oh, yeah?
And he is the best pain clinic host in the world.
Yeah, he won.
Oh, wow.
He gets bragging rights now.
He is. And do you think he's going to go a heel turn after this, or is it just...
He turned heel on you a long time ago. He even grew facial hair.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think he turned heel on you WrestleMania 29.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to let him know that then. But, wow, that's how it all finished up. So, hey, but power to everybody who participated. You know, welcome to the show today. What's the biggest things happened this past week? I mean, we definitely want to talk about Danny. Now, you've watched War Games, right?
Indeed.
Okay. We can talk about War Games. We can talk about, of course, Survivor Series. We were all there watching. And anything that happened in this past week, what's the most prominent piece of news that popped out from this past
week? Other than Survivor Series stuff?
Yes.
I would say the trademarks for certain group that may be starting at the end of the year.
Oh, so next year. So there's been lots of rumors about the Bucks and Cody coming to WWE.
No.
Not them.
Three letters, Cash, you need to make yourself familiar with.
Okay.
AEW.
AEW.
All Elite Wrestling.
Oh, the new division. Yes, okay, now I know what you're talking about. Yes, there may be a new wrestling company to take the place of, I don't know what. I mean, to jump in and be like a Impact Wrestling, which still goes on to this day as well.
No,
as,
if they do this, it's going to be bigger than Impact.
Okay, and also Ring of Honor.
And much larger than Ring of Honor.
Okay.
So we talked a few weeks ago about the rumors that Chris Jericho and Barry Bloom and Jim Ross were going to be putting together a wrestling company with the financial backing of Shad Khan, who owns the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are in town tomorrow.
Yes, right. They're in Buffalo.
Yes. Well, this week there was trademarks registered.
This is a guy who tried to buy, I believe, the
Wembley Stadium,
and he actually got turned down. So.
So there was trademarks that were put in this week for AEW, AEW Double or Nothing, AEW All Out, AEW Tuesday Night Dynamite.
Tuesday Night Dynamite.
And just AEW as a thing, All Elite Wrestling. And they were put out with the address being the Jacksonville Jaguars Stadium.
Ooh.
And, I mean, Double or Nothing is what Cody called the next all-in show. He said, next time I want to go Double or Nothing.
Interesting.
None of those guys are signing contracts after their contracts lapse.
And most of them will have lapsed before WrestleMania. We talked about that already.
So it's looking like, and the rumor timetable is the end of 2019, early 2020, because they still have to get television clearance and all that kind of stuff. And without television
clearance. But they might have an ace in the hole. Maybe they've got Access TV, you know, that's ready to jump on something else. Maybe they
with what I'm hearing that who Impact's talking to, I think they can do much better.
Oh, yeah?
Impact's supposedly talking to Sci-Fi, True TV, and a couple other stations.
And they are all owned by USA, of course. Sci-Fi, True TV. Yep. Yeah. Interesting. I was assuming, and for the longest time, this rumor's been floating around about the WWE Network actually starting to use some of these libraries that they bought, possibly even buying another show like Impact to put on their own network.
Well, I've also heard that when WWE goes to Fox next year, they're going to have two completely different production crews.
Yeah, I just said it's in the news today. Yeah. Like, if you look at it, yeah,
and they're going to be showing a lot more of the live events. Like they would show a Saturday live event from SmackDown after having SmackDown on live Friday night.
It's because they're losing out on the UFC on Fox that used to be on Saturday night. So they're going to take, which is not a problem whatsoever. I mean, you know, maybe even NXT maybe could creep in there on a Saturday night for one of their live, you know, big shows.
Not only that, too, WWE's going to have to get more eyes on the product in creative ways, considering now they're going to be on two totally different networks. And, you know, there's been news all week about how
Fox does not want
to promote another network,
yeah.
Period.
They don't want to promote any characters from the other, no. From a Monday Night Raw show. So far, you'll see the, and there's that one time talking about turning into one giant brand and getting rid of, but right now, to me, it seems like that we're going to.
Not until this deal is up.
Yeah, we're going to have a SmackDown only crew, and it's going to be even more tight than it was. You're not going to have any Bellas floating between them anymore, or any of. I'm sure it'll be interesting. And there's a start date, by the way, for their Fox, and it's less than a year now. It's in October.
You know what this is going to make really interesting? Is the shakeups they do.
Yeah.
True. Think about it. When they get the call-ups,
it's
too.
It's difficult to do a two-night cross-promotional brand swap when one of the networks doesn't want to promote another network.
I guess we'll be stopping that for a while then, you know? I mean, if anything, think about it. Think about getting called up. I mean, it's like there was talk of putting all the ace stars on SmackDown for the start of this run, too. And so that mean they'd take like the best from Raw and put it on.
They already have most of the ace stars. They just don't use them.
I know, but I'm talking about even bigger ace stars. I mean, who's really the biggest? John Cena is probably one of the biggest stars who's not even showing up anywhere nowadays.
I was just going to say, because I know we're going to talk about Survivor Series anyway. But they didn't do themselves any favors. And if I'm a Fox person, I would be very upset at the way Survivor Series played out.
They made the whole blue division look terrible.
Yeah. It's like, here's Fox that just shelled out all this money for SmackDown, and WWE intentionally made it look like the worst show ever.
It was a sweep, yeah. Every single...
Except the pre-show.
Except for the pre-show.
Doesn't count.
Which doesn't count. But apparently it was actually supposed to be won by Raw, and no one told the agent... So when they put the match, they had the New Day and them win.
Oh, that's funny.
And it was supposed to be a Raw win. It was supposed to be a clean sweep.
That is so funny that then they probably, so their mouths are shut on the whole show in general. It's only what was televised on the network. Technically, it was televised on the network. It wasn't part of the Survivor Series. It was the pre-show. Wow. We're going to go to break on that. 222-1280, StarToy is the number. Come back, and we're going to talk about Survivor Series and get your thoughts on it. 222-1280, star 1280. Listen to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
And you will lose because your boss said I can pick the stipulations. And that I won't be held liable for ripping you to shreds.
So I'm still working on that with the attorneys. It turns out dismemberment is a bit of a corporate liability. So, but we'll get there. We'll get there, I'm sure.
This is Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Little Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin there. Little tease, because tonight WWE has a little live event called Starcade going on, and they're going to show like an hour of it tomorrow night on the WWE Network. Starcade being the granddaddy of all wrestling pay-per-views when WCW was around. Yep. It was before WrestleMania.
1983.
Yeah. Starcade, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, the Road Warriors, all those characters made Starcade.
I'm really not sure why they're doing it in Cincinnati, Ohio, but
yeah, I know it's not really, you know, down in Columbia, Georgia, South Carolina,
Greensboro,
yeah, any place down south, but nevertheless, they're just paying homage to Starcade, the granddaddy of them all. And they're going to show an hour to highlights. I don't know exactly what they're going to show, but I'm guessing we're going to, I know Ric Flair is going to be there, and who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But, you know, that's cool. I think it's neat that they're, you know, that they're, you know, not forgetting, you know, using the network to not forget things that were, you know, for people who else in the country who watch wrestling that didn't watch WWE, you know, they know Starrcade. So that's very, very cool. I'm super excited about that. But let's talk about Survivor Series from last week. Well, let's talk about War Games first. And, man, War Games. Whoa.
Awesome.
What a great show.
Head to toe.
Yeah, beginning to end. You know, it's like you have to pick your favorite match, and it's really easy to say War Games. But then again, I could almost say the championship title fight was a great match, too.
Gargano and Black was great. Black was awesome.
Yeah.
The women's match was good. They just weren't given enough time.
Yeah, that. And, you know, man, there's just... and but then War Games was... there were some interesting things in War Games. I got to say that when they used every single guy in one maneuver and they were just scattered around the ring like dead bodies after that point, that was a really pretty cool time.
Well, Ricochet hitting that double moonsault off the top of the structure was unbelievable.
And almost overshooting everybody.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you have to be fearless. You absolutely have to be fearless to do that. You know, I mean, I got nervous when they were just setting up that 8-man move there at the, you know, because they were up on the top, you know, and people were balancing and stuff. It was a, man, what a fun show. I mean, War Games, you know, never, you know, and this year we don't get to see Baby Adam Cole winning the whole thing. In fact, anything, he took like some massive ends at the end of that match to finish it up, I guess, for the good guys. I don't know. It's hard to say, you know, I mean, I don't get, why can't War Machine be known as War Machine? You know what I mean? Is that
because
like...
because they're the War Raiders now.
Well, they're the War Raiders, yes. But, I mean, you watch these guys, and they're the most talented big guys I've seen in the ring in such a long time. Most, you know, physically able to do pretty much anything in those matches. Remember when we saw him in Buffalo, and he did that bounce off the second rope and did the... it was like a stunner off of it?
I was going to say, how about during the War Games when he did that handspring bounce off the ropes? Yeah. I was like, he shouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, and then when he jumped from one ring to the next, you know, so there was full of like just memorable moments. It definitely was a great match overall, great night. Ended early, you know, but that always does when you have like four matches or, you know.
That's fine with me.
Yeah.
Gives you time to do something afterwards. It starts at 7, you can watch it all, go out, do something.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Man, it was, I'm going to go back and rewatch it just because of all the, you know, the insaneness.
There was 5 matches.
You know what's five. You know what is weird is they had, what was it, 4 straight days in that arena?
Yeah.
Boy, they must have been hurting for people towards the end of that because it's like, I can't imagine. I mean, it's a big arena they were in too. So I think selling out 4 straight days, you know, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Well, they do the travel packages and all that for the big 5. So.
True. I mean, we 2 years ago we were up in Toronto for when the Survivor Series was there.
Yes.
And we got to see, we went to the NXT night when we got to see Shinsuke Nakamura defend his title against Samoa Joe. Was it? No.
Bobby Roode.
Was it Bobby Roode? That's right.
No, it was Shinsuke versus Joe.
It was Joe.
Bobby Roode, Ty Dillinger.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
but
right.
I mean, come on, though. We got to see one of the best matches ever, DIY and the Revival in that 2 out of 3 falls match.
That was insane. Yeah. So, but that was, you know, and that we were only one day of the 4 that were going on at that time. I don't know if I could sit and go to wrestling 4 straight days.
Well, we can try next year with Survivor Series.
Yeah, because it's coming.
Or, sorry, SummerSlam.
SummerSlam's coming.
We can try for WrestleMania.
WrestleMania, yes, WrestleMania.
Well, NXT's already sold out.
We could try for 5 days.
5 days?
If you count the Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame, yeah, which is on Friday this year. And then, but they also have the Ring of Honor show on at Madison Square Gardens that Saturday. So, boy, it's tough choices, you know? Man, there's so let's get past that, talk a little bit about Survivor Series. We kind of showed our disdain for it in the first segment with talking about how pretty much the blue lost every match. I mean, you can't count the one-on-ones because, I mean, technically, Ronda
still lost every match.
Yeah, they did. Ronda Rousey. I don't know who came out better from the Ronda Rousey Charlotte match. You know, I mean,
that still kind of confuses me.
Yeah,
I'm still waiting to see how that plays out because right now I'm still scratching my head.
Do you believe that may have been the same way that Becky Lynch might have ended with Ronda Rousey?
Absolutely.
Too? Yeah, I do too, and I think because it probably sets up a WrestleMania match, which they've been talking about. So. But it's going to be interesting.
But that match was really good.
It was. Yeah. It was.
It was. I just question everything that how it played out.
Yeah. How it, obviously Charlotte Flair got irritated and mad because she couldn't put Ronda down for the three count over and over and over and just went nuts. And
then she did it because Becky told her to, and all of a sudden she's good friends with Becky again.
Good friends with Becky on the SmackDown before that because it's like she's like she had to hand over her opportunity to somebody, and she gave it to Charlotte, and they hugged it. And it's like, wait a second, wasn't it 2 weeks ago and these ladies were like killing each other? I know injuries make necessity for things like that. I understand that. Maybe she could have given it to another heel. I don't know. There's really not that many great wrestlers on SmackDown, women wrestlers.
Sorry to go off on a tangent, but we're talking about the injuries and everything. And, of course, the most recent one to Becky Lynch at the hands of Nia Jax. Did you see the sign at Monday Night Raw?
I'm trying to think. It was
a massive sign.
Said Nia, don't.
It's like, Nia, I don't know how to tell you this nicely, but we're not booing you because of what you did to Becky. We're booing you because you're just awful.
Oh, my God. Well, and she probably enjoyed that, but probably went back and cried a little bit after the match, because if you've ever seen a total...
And then she's going to go back to a whole bullying thing again.
Yeah, it looks like where it's going to. And then she's going to... And they're trying to build up her and Ronda for, you know, for, we're getting it for the TLC coming up. But, man, that I enjoyed... I don't know what to say about Survivor Series. It could have gone better, I think. You know, they could have at least had
some... It wasn't bad.
No.
But it wasn't good.
Yeah, it was...
There's a couple good matches. I like what they did with Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing, too. Is I mean, we've had, like, within the week before the show, the top two matches were changed. So it's like, they spent all that time to bringing up, trying to set up the AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar, and then all of a sudden AJ's out of the picture. It's definitely, you know, I mean, listen, I love Daniel Bryan. That was probably one of the best matches of Survivor Series, don't you think? Because of the way that he sold for, like, the first 10 minutes. And then he you know, got two counts on Brock quite a few times during that.
He almost had him choked out or tapped out.
Yeah, he did.
Brock's entire body turned purple.
But, you know, you don't see a lot of guys. You don't see Brock, and I'll be honest, Brock comes out and he's pretty much a brawler. You don't see him sell like that for everybody in a match, you know? So it probably meant something to him to put on a great match, you know, not just come out and, you know, throw fists the whole match. Because I honestly think that he worked harder in that match than I've seen him work in a long time.
Probably since AJ last year.
Yeah. I was gonna say, it wasn't a default match against Roman Reigns where they each start with 10 finishers.
That's true. That's true. You know, German suplex after German suplex. We got Daniel Bryan like hitting Brock Lesnar and Brock taking it with like some of his most devastating moves that he does in the ring. So. That was probably the one redeeming match of the whole night. I thought, you know, thank goodness that they. They kept it for almost the end, you know, you know, what's funny is so many people worry about Daniel Bryan getting hit in the head somehow and thinking that Brock Lesnar is a terrible worker and he's going to hurt him. But they played on that fear for everybody in the audience when that first thing he did was when he nailed him in the head and Daniel Bryan was flopping around and, you know, getting beat up for the first 10 minutes. I thought it was a very well paced match. I enjoyed that most of it, but the rest of Survivor Series, you know, A little bit preoccupied at times, but it was okay. Danny?
I was just going to say, do we want to talk about the pun intended Vince McMahon watermark on the show?
Would that be... yeah, we can talk about that.
Drake
Why not?
Maverick.
Drake Maverick, you know, apparently he peed his pants. But you know what? That's the kind of jokes that are going to get taken off of SmackDown. So they got to enjoy it while they can do it. I mean, do it on Raw.
No one wants to enjoy
that. No one thought that was funny except Vince.
I know. Oh, he peed his pants.
Look at that. Peed his pants.
Never happened before. You could do, you know, in the olden days, other people did worse things in their pants in the wrestling ring. I mean, I've heard stories of Andre the Giant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I that was a kind of a fun match, too, actually, that the end of that match with Authors of Pain.
Would have been a lot better if he didn't pee himself.
Yeah, I don't know. But they, you know, they had this freeze up everybody in the match and stop while he was standing on the ring apron so they all could see that, you know. It was just, I think it's kind of silly, you know. 222-1280, star 1280, tell us what you think about it. If you came out, hung out with us, please give us a call. Tell us you had a good time at Salvatore's at the garage door for our 20th birthday. And, man, oh,
So much cake.
I know, and I just finished a cookie cake yesterday or 2 days ago, so it's like, you know, it's just, and it was the smallest cake of all of them, you know. But, yeah, there's cake and all sorts of wonderful things. But on that note, we'll go to break. We've got all this news in front of me that we haven't even talked about yet, and we'll get to that. But I don't want to use the same song again. Hold on a second. You can give us a call at 222-1280, star 1280. And we'll put you on there, and you can ask us questions, talk to us. Maybe, you know what? I was thinking about this. We never really talked too much about some of our favorites from the history of the Pain Clinic. We could ask us, like, who our favorite, you know, interview was. I mean, I started to tell a story, and then I just kind of nixed myself because I was talking about someone said, what was the most surprising interview? And I said, well, Mike Awesome called us without us knowing about it one Saturday morning, and we did an interview with him. He's like, yeah, they told me to call you. It's like, so we interviewed him, and that, I think that those are surprise interviews, but really the best interviews we've ever done. It's like, you got to think about, we've had some wild ones. I still, you know, of course, I did bring up B. Brian Blair. I can't ever forget the story about the sneaking the crack cocaine into on the airplane, the Iron Sheik and who was it again?
Was it Junkyard Dogs?
Yeah, Junkyard Dogs, putting crack cocaine in the bottom of a popcorn container. Then sneaking in the bathroom and smoking it, which is a terrible story for you kids out there. Don't ever do that. But when he told us, my jaw hit the ground. So we're going to break on that. 222-1280, star 1280. Listen to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
You know, it's only been 4 weeks since Dean turned his back on me and Roman, but it's felt like an eternity because as of yet, he hasn't had the guts to walk down to this ring and face me like a man. But all that changes at TLC because he's not going to have a choice because it's going to be Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins one-on-one for the Intercontinental Championship.
So this is me on my worst day. And if anyone knows me, they know I refuse to step aside. So hit somebody's music and send anyone out here to fight me. Because if I can't defend this title tonight, I don't deserve to be champion.
Hey, this is the Doctor of Style, the Slickster, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. 222-1280. Star 1280 is the number. You can give us a call. You can give us a text. Another piece of Paul Heyman's beautiful writing for Ronda Rousey. She's hard. She's hard to be. It seems, I don't know. She needs to be a better actress, I think. I mean, that's.
She's got the wrestling part down.
Yeah, you know.
She does not have the talking down.
No, she doesn't have talking down.
She just secretly needs to take some notes and lessons from Becky Lynch.
You know, well, and for me, a lot of times the least said by Becky is more powerful than even the most said by Rhonda at times, you know. I wonder who writes for Becky. Could it be Heyman too? Because it wouldn't surprise me at all either.
I loved, did you see her exchanges with Jericho this week?
No, I didn't.
Oh my God. He made a comment about her, you know, being injured. She's like, yeah, funny fact, you know, the cheap shot broke my nose. I got the concussion listening to your last album.
Oh, man. A little wiseacre there, you know. There's talk, and we mentioned this last week, about there's, you know, it's, you know, they're comparing her to, you know, Conor McGregor. And I hate to even, you know, bring up that name when talking about Becky Lynch, but... You know the WWE wants to do something with Conor McGregor. It would not surprise me.
Yeah, I saw her. She had exchange with him this week, too.
Oh, yeah?
Where she said it's New Jersey's nice in March or something like that.
Oh, yeah?
Or April or whenever it was.
Well, Conor wants to do something with the WWE, you know? I mean, he's a jet-flying, baby-kissing, or kiss-stealing, wheeling-dealing son of a gun. And
jet-flying, limousine-riding.
That's it, limousine-riding, yeah. When he comes out with those jackets on, don't you think of Ric Flair all the time and those, you know, those furry jackets he walks out with?
So. No, Ric Flair was a better wrestler.
Yeah, well, you know. Well, I have a feeling that we're going to work him into WrestleMania somehow, maybe like in a Mike Tyson position or something. But it will happen. You'll see.
Yeah, but he can't punch anybody. He's in a Becky match.
That's true. Well, You know his personal life. He may be old. You know, maybe that's normal for him. No. That's a terrible thing. Even instigate or insinuate.
And we start our 20th year with a lawsuit.
Yeah. Let's start that. So one thing we didn't talk about at all this past Monday night, or no, it was Survivor Series, was Enzo Amore made a brief appearance in the WWE Sunday night. And if you blinked, you missed it. But because the cameras probably weren't on him, but he jumped up on a chair and started screaming his catchphrase and got, and he was like in the first like 20 or 10 rows of the ring.
He was in the second row.
Yeah, he was right there.
He had an outfit on for most of it. He had like a wig and had his hood pulled up and everything. And then all of a sudden decided he was going to jump up on the chair and start screaming, "How you doing?" And then the video was great because you just see security come down and rip him off the chair. Yeah.
Drag him out. And I've seen the pictures of people as he's being dragged out.
I've also seen the pictures of his concert the next night with 80 people. So
that's right, because he is a musician, right?
That's what they claim.
Yeah, well, Eric Arndt is his real name.
All the video I saw was him talking about stupid WWE stuff. So,
well, you know, I mean, that's where people know him from. I mean, you don't know him from anything else, you know.
I know him from his consensual body parts.
Yes, well. Him and the Chinless Wonder, too, apparently.
She's not old enough to consent.
Oh, my. Yeah, true. So, interesting that he tried to, you know, and we kind of were watching the pay-per-view and noticed that there was a little bit of a...
They all turned away from the match at one point.
Yeah, they did.
And that would be why.
And you're the one who saw it on Twitter, right?
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter. I saw the postings that he was there, and people were posting that he was sitting second row before he ever... did his stupid stuff.
Yeah, he was, a desperate act of a desperate man,
He should be saving that money. I'm pretty sure he's not going to be making the kind of money he was making there anywhere else ever.
Never. And he screwed it up bad, and it was his fault. Even though he did help out immensely on Live 205 there, when he went there. He definitely drew some eyes,
too. He helped out immensely by leaving, too, because they went to a more wrestling-based show, and it's a lot more entertaining for me.
I kind of liked it when he was champ, because he could still come out Monday nights and stuff. 222-1280 starts over. We got Brian from Rochester. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. It was nice seeing you guys at the garage door. It's been like 5 years or more since I've been at the garage door for a pay-per-view.
Well, you got to come more often, Brian, because Danger Boy missed you when we left, so...
I'm sorry, Danger Boy, if you're in the studio. I'm sorry when I left. I had to leave because of the transportation thing.
Gotcha.
I do have a WWE question, though. What do you think is going to happen now with the Riot Squad on Monday Night Raw? Do you see them breaking up? Do you see them staying together? What do you think is going to happen with the Riot Squad?
Danger Boy, what do you think is going to happen with the Riot Squad?
Brian. They're still doing their thing together. It's not like... what was Absolution that definitely has split now. Or
Absolution.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you blinked your eye, you might remember that. But what were they called the first time?
No. Actually, Absolution was Paige's.
Yeah.
It's her, Mandy Rose. And that wasn't sorority. Submission sorority.
Submission sorority.
That was Paige and Charlotte and
That's
Becky.
Right. Well, I don't know. I think that, I mean, listen. I will say one thing. Some of the women, and in this past week, I watched both the shows, and I got to give a lot of credit. Someone like Peyton, was it Peyton Royce who wrestled in SmackDown, who actually wrestled a great match? You know, I mean, they weren't going to, oh, no. Who was it that, was it the Iconics that took on Ronda Rousey?
No, they took on Charlotte.
Charlotte, that's right. And I mean, she came out and she actually wrestled. I mean, if you watched it, she did, the basics were down. It wasn't like she was a bad wrestler. She was a good wrestler. Obviously, she was, booked to lose. But I mean, I was very impressed with some of when Ronda had to called out wrestler came out and
Mickey James,
and that was a great match. I thought it was a great match.
That's because Mickey's very solid.
Yeah, she is, and I enjoyed both those women matches this week. And Iconics, all you ever hear them is talk. You never really see a lot of action from them. And so we finally got to see him wrestle this week, and it's like, wow, this girl definitely. I mean, and then I went back and looked into their backgrounds, and they both like wrestled for those women divisions that were the women's groups, that were down in Florida that had pay per views and
they
stuff.
They legitimately went to the same high school too.
Did they really?
Yeah, it was just different years. I think Peyton Royce is younger by like 4 years or something like that.
What's it, Bobby Kay or
Billy Kay.
Billy Kay, that's it. Yeah. So yeah, well, I enjoyed their match this past week, and. And I give him a lot of credit because, one, we never get to see him wrestle, and then he gave him an opportunity to wrestle, and they actually did a good job. Even though they lost, it was fine, you know. And but I don't think we're going to see any of the women's divisions split yet. I mean, they have to be a good reason for them to split. You know, like there's like one better one out of the three.
Well, who's going to wrestle Natalya, Sasha, and Bayley if we don't have the Riot Squad?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Every week.
Yeah, that's true. And until we get bored of it, you know.
We got bored 3 months ago. It still happens every week.
Yeah, you know, and yeah, it does. But, you know, I mean, it's fun because, you know, it gets them some work in front of people. And, you know, everyone loves Sasha. I don't know why. I mean, they love Sasha over everybody.
She can wrestle. They haven't done anything with her in a year and a half.
No. You know, I mean, the biggest, I think their big, maybe her pinnacle of her career was those series of matches with Charlotte, where they handed the belt back and forth about six times.
Played hot potato for six months.
Yeah.
So some news that you guys are going to be thrilled about, and I am too, is coming up, is Lars Sullivan's headed for a big push to the WWE main roster. WWE started airing coming soon vignettes for the Freaks call up from NXT this past week. I don't know.
I like it.
Yeah. I mean,
I like Lars Sullivan.
Still not clear which brand he'll be on. The vignettes aired on Raw and SmackDown, but the thing is he's a big monster. He's a monster.
He's a Vince guy.
Well, if you look at the roster breakdowns, he would certainly fit on SmackDown because they don't have anybody like that. So that means they'll put him on Raw.
But then Raw, they have all the monsters. I mean, obviously, the last three guys from the Survivor Series were monsters.
I was going to say, look at the Survivor Series teams.
Yeah, we looked at the size differential between them, and it's like you had like the three, like the five short guys versus the you know, the five guys who are like all over 6'8".
The four tall guys and Dolph Ziggler.
And Dolph Ziggler, yeah.
So sorry, three tall guys, Dolph Ziggler and Finn Balor.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it would make sense that they would probably go to Raw with them then.
Now, there's rumor there's going to be another call-up as well.
Uh-oh, who's that?
There was it was supposed to happen actually after SummerSlam, but a certain individual got a concussion at NXT the night before, so they could not bring him up. EC3, that's why you haven't seen him much in NXT, is one, he had a concussion, and two, they never had any plans for him to go long-term because he was supposed to go up almost a couple months after he started.
Sure.
So he was going to put over Velveteen and go up because he is custom fit for the main roster and not so much for NXT.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's cleared concussion protocol, and they said they're just waiting for the perfect time to bring him up.
Obviously, he was like the figurehead of Impact Wrestling their last full year, so he was there. He was one of the guys. But I mean, you know,
and he wrestles a main roster style.
Yeah, he does. 222-1280 star 1280. We got Michael from Rochester. What's up, buddy?
Hey guys, how you doing, guys?
Doing great. How you doing?
Not too bad. I wanted to call about the abomination that was last week's SmackDown episode. I just want to ask you guys: has Vince McMahon lost his mind? Because I watched that SmackDown show, and Survivor Series is all about SmackDown getting beat like a drum. They lost every match outside of the pre-show match.
Yep.
And Shane McMahon sends out a tweet like hours after that SmackDown, I got to do something. We're going to have to make changes. That SmackDown, we're going to like come up with something. And nothing happens. He just comes out. He's in a nothing segment with The Miz. He looks like an idiot. The Miz loses a tag match. He looks like an even bigger idiot. They seem to have another Thanksgiving food fight, which I don't know why they always have to have Thanksgiving food fights every single time around this time of the year. What's going on? Like, what are they trying to accomplish? Are they trying to make SmackDown bad? This is a show that's going to Fox Network Television in October next year. I just wanted to ask you guys, what's the mindset?
That's a good, you know, that's a very good question because in our news this week, we had WWE's. They said that they have a big plan, a character change for Shane McMahon starting early next year to build up to WrestleMania. And obviously, he had a heel. He had an opportunity to be the heel when he went what he did in the Crown Jewel, but they've already nixed that. So he's like he's still coming out to cheers. Good question, Danny. What do you think?
Here's the only thing I can think of is I'm just going to chalk this up to writer exhaustion. Because we were talking about this 2 months ago, all the stuff they had to get done in the month of November. And then, you know, building up to this pay-per-view where they insist on doing the, oh, it's Raw versus SmackDown stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I don't get the point of making SmackDown look horrible. And then I think to Mike's point, too, I remember seeing, oh, Shane teased they're going to have like a State of SmackDown segment.
Yeah.
And they did
Nothing.
Nothing.
Right. Here's my other issue. My other issue is with the company overall. Do we have to have on every single solitary episode heat segment after heat segment after heat segment? And what I mean by that is, okay, Ronda Rousey gets beat up at the pay-per-view by Charlotte. Then very next episode, Braun Strowman gets beat up and laid out. The very next episode, the episode before, there's a Daniel Bryan heel turn. The night that Roman Reigns comes out and says he has leukemia, they can't even finish the show without Dean Ambrose turning on Seth Rollins. Heat segments after heat segments. Well, I personally feel as a fan, when I watch these shows, I want to be happy. I don't want to be miserable. And I feel like when I watch main roster, not NXT, but when I watch main roster shows, everything is about heat, heat, heat. Ruby Riott breaks Natalya's sunglasses for no reason. To pay off what? A Natalya-Ruby Riott match at the top of the second minute of third hour? Like, who cares?
You're right. Like, you're so right.
Everything is about heat. They don't know how to make any good baby faces. For 2 years, all the wrestling fans at WWE wanted was Daniel Bryan to come out of retirement. That's what everybody wanted. And in eight months, they made the guy that everybody wanted to see come back to the point where they booked him against this turd, The Miz, who's terrible in everything. I'm sorry. I know people might not agree with me on this, but The Miz is terrible. They booked him in a feud where he loses at SummerSlam, looks like a complete idiot. Then he does a mixed tag with his wife, and they lose that match to the point where he wants to turn heel just so he could get pushed. It's remarkable. It's like, I don't understand, like, what's happened? Do they not understand that this company, when it made it in the 80s, it was speak off of Hulk Hogan, and the good guy always triumphed at the end, and then in the late 90s in the Attitude Era, it always triumphed with Stone Cold Steve Austin drinking beer and saluting the fans after he won at the end? Like, what's happening? Just have the baby faces win. That's the idea. The heel should be booked and set up for the baby face to triumph. Now it's just heat, heat, heat. Well, I just don't like it.
Mike, I got to tell you, I think that they got caught with their pants down not too long ago when they tried to turn Braun Strowman heel, and then they had to immediately reverse it. So, you know, and I think that kind of, and it leaves a lot of people up in the air about, you know, what they're doing now.
The reason they had to put heat on Braun this week and get him out of there, he's actually having legit elbow surgery. He's got bone spurs in his elbow.
I'm not just talking about one segment in a vacuum. I'm just talking, it's every week. They had to put Rey Mysterio, Randy Orton puts the chair on Rey Mysterio's throat. Oh, guess what? I just saw that. Oh, 4 nights earlier at Survivor Series when Charlotte was doing it to Ronda Rousey. And she didn't even know how to do it right, by the way.
Yeah.
But, okay, like, they come on. When you do heat segments constantly, it doesn't get over because it's just one blends in after the other. As a kid, I remember, the first thing I remember in wrestling was Barry Windham turning on Lex Luger and joining the Four Horsemen. I'm sure you guys remember it.
I do, yes.
It was legendary. You want to know why it was legendary? Because they didn't do it every single week. There wasn't constant turns all the time. So when a heel turn happened, it was memorable. Or if a babyface turn happened, it was memorable.
Yeah, Roddy Piper down there in Georgia Championship Wrestling, yes.
When you do stuff constantly, it all blends in. That Charlotte angle around the Rousey in a vacuum was a great angle. The problem was they do so much of it that people are just going to forget about it within 2 weeks. And then Ronda Rousey comes out on Raw, and she wins a match. Yeah. She shouldn't even been on the show.
I know. They didn't say the next night after she got her head stomped in a ladder. Yeah, I'll give Danny credit. I think it is writer's exhaustion, and they've got way too.
The writers don't know what they're doing to begin with.
I mean,
That's my point.
My man, we appreciate the call, brother. I love your insight, dude.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Call back anytime, dude.
Absolutely.
All right, 222-1280. That was, you know what, man, he makes it so sensible, and to me,
he's 100% right.
Yeah, and you know the thing is. They are doing these things just to get the heat at the end of every segment and then go, you know, and it's like if they end it every time that way. And, you know, whatever happened, you know, I honestly think that they could have had Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose go for a while before they had the heel turn. It didn't have to happen that night, you know.
No. Well, why did they have Randy Orton rip off Rey Mysterio's mask this week when it's the like second week of the feud?
Yeah, they do.
There's no reason for. There's no immediate payoff either. It's not like the match they're having is going to be a main event match at a pay per view that's this weekend. Yeah. No, it's not going to happen at least for 3 weeks.
Yeah, so they're just. I think they're just trying to. You know, they're seeing. You know what it is? I think there's a lot of pressure on the ratings because ratings have been down.
But the ratings are terrible for a reason.
But they think that if they start doing stuff where people will call someone and say, did you see this on show last week, that they're going to get more people to watch.
That wasn't going to happen Monday anyways. No. Everyone's calling everybody about the football game. That was awesome.
Yeah, so they went up against probably the highest rated football game in the last 10 years on Monday night. I will say that you made a lot of great points. And on that note, we'll go to break, come back, think about it a little bit more. And we have one last segment. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Ready for a new...
Ho! Hey, folks, this is Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. Tough guy.
And best of luck. If you get healthy, Jim. Hacksaw Jim Duggan was in the ICU this past week.
Yeah, I think he posted he's getting out of the ICU this weekend.
Good, because he definitely had all these pictures on his face on his Twitter site with him and all these things stuck in him and things. Hopefully, don't know why he was in there, but get healthy, Hacksaw. Come back out, and you know you're 64 and you're still wrestling, and we appreciate that, you know, and nothing like a 2x4, DC.
I was just going to say, we were talking about, Hacksaw. I wanted just to real quick mention another story I heard about a wrestler who was injured. And if it's true, it's going to be very sad for any New Japan followers. Takahashi, who he had that very serious neck injury he suffered in July.
Yeah.
There's doubt over whether he will ever be able to wrestle again, which was a damn shame because he was very, very good.
He was getting red hot, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame. You know, it's like he did have a bad neck injury, though. I mean,
he got spiked right on his head.
Yeah, yeah. Seen too much of that recently, you know. I mean, go on YouTube and you see
Go on YouTube, because then you'll give those idiots credence for throwing bricks at people.
Or oh, my gosh.
David Arquette getting stabbed in the neck with a light tube.
Yeah, that's gross. I mean, don't go look for it. But the brick thing scared me when I saw that. The guy...
Well, he's had his license suspended by Mexico. He can't wrestle in Mexico anymore. And he's claiming it's because he got stiffed earlier in the match. Yeah. You threw a 20-pound brick at someone's head because you took a potato? I hope someone kills him.
And he hit him from behind. I mean, the guy was walking away, and he was standing outside the ring. He was up in the ring and just heaved a brick and hit him in the head. Broke the brick in half. There's some crazy stuff you can see on the internet. And please... Real wrestling has nothing to do with stuff like that. You know, the good stuff that you should be loving. Some other news looks like, what else? Oh, yeah, we talked about Survivor Series moving next year. Survivor Series is moving to, they're moving to Chicago. So we're going to get 4 days of wrestling in Chicago with Survivor Series. The official start date for SmackDown, October 4th, 2019. Write that down on your calendar. It's the last time you're ever going to see a Raw mentioned ever on SmackDown.
They'll get
again.
The mentions in.
But the thing is, an interesting thing about this when they put this date out is they said they're going to mix it in with their own properties. So NFL football, you're going to have like wrestlers doing stuff on the pregame show.
Dear God, don't let Joe Buck call.
I was
going to
say, have you seen the
matches?
Great rumors going around that Fox is insisting Joe Buck be on the commentary team?
Oh, my God. I hope Daniel Cormier is retired by then and he comes on, because that would be definitely interesting. You know. But Joe Buck, no thank you. Yeah, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman calling wrestling. You know, I have a feeling WWE might have some say over that. But, hey, it's another week in the books. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, DC. Thank you, Danger.
Real quick, Cash, because I missed all the fun last week. Can I just share my fondest moment of being associated with the show?
Do that.
Hands down, our lobby party with the TNA crew when they were in Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
That phenomenal. Was, yeah. And an opportunity I never would have gotten had I not been associated with this show. So thank you, guys.
Well, thank you. It was a lot of fun hanging out with, JB and...
all the road crew, Jenkins
and all those guys. And
White Tiger.
White Tiger. White Tiger, go buy some more beer. Gotta get that natty. All right, we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening. Find us online, thepainclinic.net. We'll see you next week.
The Black Friday deals are going on now at Lord & Taylor. Get an extra 40% off thousands of newly reduced styles you'll love. Want women's and men's cashmere sweaters for $49.99? Women's puffers for $59.99? Done and done. Take 50% off fragrances and up to 70% off fine jewelry. Plus, step into women's UGG boots for $89.99. Get free shipping.